You're listening to Enlighten COVID-19 podcast series, a podcast dedicated to helping your business beat the pandemic. Join us as we unpack how COVID-19 is shaping the future of customer experience and offer insights on ways your business can not only survive, but thrive through these difficult times.
So today we're joined by Dr. Eugene Fisser, who is somewhat of an SEO boff. I'm probably one of the only doctors I know in SEO. Eugene has got many degrees, and in fact, a BTEC degree, an MTEC degree, specializing in search engine optimization. He also completed a doctorate using website usability variables and on-page search engine optimization elements. Wow, that's quite a mouthful. and recently really got more into sort of looking at supply chain and how this could be perceived as a network between a company and its suppliers to produce and distribute a specific product to the final buyer. And as we know, supply chain is what it's all about these days. So with almost two decades of digital marketing experience, Eugene is a co-owner of a company called Polar Bear Innovation, and their mission is to tackle complex digital business challenges by supporting businesses to set their innovation strategy and build new businesses and spur ongoing growth. So my name is Natalie Schooling. So welcome, Dr. Eugene Fisser. We're just going to call you Eugene for the purposes of today. I'm CEO and founder of Enlighten, and I'm joined by my very fabulous business partner, Brendan Bairstow-Clopper.
So I'm one of Enlighten's directors, and one of my specialities is really having a look and mapping out both customer and employee journeys.
So to kick off today's podcast, Gene, you know, just a sense, give us a sense of the landscape. You know, we're all going, yay, 2020, new decade, how exciting. And, you know, look at us now. It feels like, you know, the world kind of has not quite come to an end, but a very, very different perspective. From your side, Eugene, what's life like? What are some of the things that you in your business has changed?
Well, that's a very interesting question. You know, if I take a step back in terms of where we were and looking at the activities online and the growth online, you know, we've got some interesting stats, especially locally, as to how South Africa in itself is actually quite connected, considering we're about 60 million strong and about 36 million internet users. The changed landscape for us post-COVID, if I could say that, has had a double-edged sword type of approach, where the one side was quite positive, where people and businesses were able to permutate and actually to take advantage of the situation and think dynamically about things. And other businesses were not. Businesses that would think that, you know, this is maybe something that I couldn't do online, or I can't really sell this particular product. And so we've had a decline in one aspect, in one dimension. Some practical ones, for example, the real estate industry, where, you know, that sort of thing is couldn't really be digitized or really moved on the internet environment, where other aspects such as exercises and some creative thinking about the comrades and things like that, about how people were saying, well, how do we do that? Not virtually, but do that within the realms of my own property. So running around my own property maybe 200,000 times, which could have a significant change and impact towards that. So it was quite a shift up in the digital realm, as we could see it. I mean, a lot of businesses that were depending on actually moving certain products with warehouses and inventory structures, they had quite a significant impact. And then there were essential services and essential goods, consumables that were also activated or maintained activated during this time, which you know, just continued down the line of you know, serving the customer's needs, which is the very essence the essence of customers, their needs will not change, or the customers' needs, how can I say, they change over time. But what I'm saying is that during this entire protocol, users tend not to want to change. So they maintain with a particular interest and their needs are there and they're used to a certain lifestyle. So when things changed up, that need didn't really disappear and they were looking for that need just in different places. And I think that's also reflected as how many lawsuits were activated during this time of lockdown and how people were arguing towards that particular need. And so much so, if I think about the alcohol industry and the robberies that took place on that particular front there and how people were going after their particular need. And I suppose that's from different viewpoints, but the user's need is probably the one factor that drives the business forward, because the economic system is based on the user need.
I think, I mean, just to that point, you know, I think as human beings, you know, one of our base needs is really one of connection. And certainly within the customer experience space, you know, kind of pre-COVID and now, I think the whole experience and concept of being, you know, physically isolated from others and loved ones, I think that we're starting to crave human connection more than ever before. From your perspective, I mean, how do we weave that human connectedness through a more digital environment?
Yeah, it's another interesting point there. I think that when, you know, looking at it, like you said, before COVID, we were migrating slowly but surely over to the internet realm. So everybody, there was a trajectory that we're all going digital, some form, manner, way. There's influences all around, everything from your devices to required technologies and even comfort, if I can call it that, you know, where things are happening at an ease where it's easier for you or easier for you to adapt to. And the COVID situation has just rapidly increased that momentum towards that trajectory, so it steepened it a bit. And I think from one particular perspective, it changes the view as to how people would, how could I say, how they would go about interacting, where previously you had a choice of, you know, whether you want to chat to somebody or have that connection and that sit down, where now you kind of like, you don't have really that choice. You're forced into this little box and you're looking for ways and means to expand into that. And then you start thinking about ways of how do we go about this? How do we change this? And how do we stay connected? And how do we get more FaceTime, if we can call it that, on a digital realm? And I think that's where a lot of companies and businesses are adapting to environments such as Zoom and Skype and that sort of thing, where they could maintain some sort of connection towards that. And others, I think they kind of like break the rules and try and see how they can adapt without changing too much of their particular lifestyle or their way of doing things. But the activities as such, you know, if I think about it just from my own perspective, if I'm in my environment and I was in need of something or information or communication, the first thing I'd probably grab is my phone and see where is this person available, or and that sort of thing. Whereas now that hasn't really changed from a direct perspective, because I'd still go to my phone. I'll just think about, well, how would be able to communicate and have a conversation or a connection or to expand on a discussion and that sort of thing. And I think there are certain challenges with that, because there's some tone missing, some representation. So when somebody speaks, their body language would say something itself, and that is no longer visible or available. And therefore, a lot of what was unsaid now needs to be said so that a person can get a appropriate interpretation or connection for that matter. So I think that there's some people will adapt to that, will be able to adapt to that, and, you know, either have multiple touch points or multiple ways of trying to communicate and connect, especially social channels. But others would really struggle with that and would probably have the opposite effect and probably retract from that and get quite frustrated because they can't get that communication going and they can't get connected.
So, I mean, I like your point around comfort, and for me that really centers around convenience. And I think because of what the world is going through, and we think about what people are going to value kind of post-COVID as such, convenience is definitely, you know, right up there in the kind of top three or four. If you had to consider, you know, dealing with your telco or your insurance company or your bank or a retailer, you know, obviously we are continuing to move more into a digital environment. How would you suggest that those kinds of industries approach human connection within this new digital space? So just from a meeting perspective, but actually, you know, servicing the end customer or the end client.
Through UX and obviously UI.
Yeah, I think that businesses will have to significantly permutate in terms of how they've always perceived and positioned things. So to make contact with an individual, you would, which was kind of like however way that they did that, will have to be rethought in terms of not only the person's as a necessity and the need, but also where they are. You know, looking at previously, just in terms of the digital stats, what we used to depend on was that people usually did shopping, or I don't want to say used to, so I use the term loosely, so please forgive me, but I'm talking from the majority and the stats and that sort of thing. It showed that people did a lot of activity during office hours. Now, effectively working from home for a large group of people, that changes the dynamic a bit more, because all of a sudden you now have a lot more perspectives to consider in the immediate surroundings, what they're doing, where they're at, and how they're perceiving things. Mail, for example, is another quite a critical part. We actually have an analysis of when and how we would mail somebody. What's an ideal day? Should it be before lunch, after lunch, and how do they perceive that and where they're at? But when you're at home, I think that significantly changes as to how you position yourself and where and how you would go about communicating. So we speak about stuff like omnichannels, where we have different ways and means of communicating, which isn't necessarily by the digital channel, but also devices and different perspectives of how you need to evaluate how people would engage with you. I think that would radically require a business to reevaluate their positioning in terms of how they package their product, and also how the receiver would receive that from the day-to-day. So as an example, I'm just thinking top of my head now, for insurance, household insurance or short-term insurance might not be that active, considering that, well, you're at home. So my initial concern about short-term insurance, yes, I understand that things happen all the time, but a large part of that is when I'm not home. Now, if I'm most of the time home, then that surely needs to be reevaluated or repackaged in terms of how that's been communicated and how I would receive that, and also what my view is, because it's no longer whether I'm not at home or not. It's about things going wrong, even if I'm asleep, for example. So it's maybe not such a great example, but it's just the first thing that comes to mind as to how people would have to re-look at that sort of view, how they would receive that particular interpretation or communication.
Yeah, so I suppose, you know, well thought through and articulated personalized communication. You know, if we think back to the insurance example, you know, maybe it's more around information sharing, et cetera, rather than, you know, traditional transactional business.
Yes, I will definitely agree with that. Personalization, I think we've been moving down that particular road for quite a while to trying to personalize it. I mean, if I think about I'm just using an example here of a website where the interpretation, if you go to a shop, you have somebody that you can ask some questions, you can have a physical view, feel, and evaluation, where a website is probably like a dead animal in the sense that it's like, you know, you can't really talk to it. And if to get a personalization into that, you have to engage with it in a different way. So you'll have to interact with it, or hoping that it would interact with you in a different way. On the website side, we usually create user personas, we try and predict and evaluate how a viewer would or a person of interest would come to that particular website and how they would go through the particular channel or product funnel to a particular outcome based on their need. But that is based on a view of categorizing personalization. So it would never get to true personalization is what you're talking about. But I think definitely there is great opportunity to permutate and move into that particular field. Email is a very good example where personalization could be created in a way of there are platforms that you can preempt certain outcomes and certain responses, and that you can predict what those responses are, and then you can automatically fire off emails appropriate towards those responses. And that is definitely, I think, where it's moving to more aggressively in the world of digital, especially now that things are kind of like, well, we have to be online, and how will people respond to that?
A great example for me of that sort of locally would be Yappy Chef. They do that really well in terms of personalizing and kind of, how can I call it, push selling, unselling. Mm-hmm.
So, Doc, for me, another thing that, and again, this has been on the cards for quite some time, but as you say, it's just going to be accelerated because of COVID. Now, another thing that clients and customers and consumers are going to value even more is this whole idea of trust. And I suppose that becomes even more critical within the digital environment. So just your thoughts in terms of how organizations, companies, should be maintaining and developing this level of trust, with their customers, and just any advice about how to go about that, really.
Yeah, trust is also something that's been worked on for ages. I think, you know, when we look at from a digital perspective, we talk about conversion elements where we have a certain suggested or required outcome. So if we have a business objective, we want that business objective to be achieved on the website. We call that a conversion. And there are multiple factions that we look at when we look at a conversion structure, exactly what you're saying now in terms of trust. It expands to the point where you're looking at the motive, the clarity, incentive, friction. Friction, I think, is very much based on that basis that, you know, if those things, are they going to take my ID? Are they going to take my credit card details? Are they going to store it? Where are they going to store it? And is it safe? What if somebody hacks them? And what if I lose my funds and that sort of thing? So I think that's a very large portion that needs to be considered from a digital perspective. And I think there are ways and means to go about that, especially from a business that's representing themselves online. For example, physical address, contact details, images and background portfolios of senior management or people, that all gives you an indication that, well, there is a location, there is a position, there is someone, there's a person behind this, there is, and to make mention of what's been done to protect. You have your privacy policies and data protection, so you have these fine print elements, and we take a lot of that for granted, but if, in fact, it does carry a huge, it has a huge impact in terms of how people receive things, especially towards a company, and how also it dictates on in terms of how they're willing they are to interact with their business. I think another big thing would be, for example, testimonials, which means that it's not just based on what they're saying. It's about that somebody else has interacted with this brand or product, and somebody else has gone through the motions, and they were happy or maybe even unhappy, and they indicate, well, it was maybe a delivery or it was maybe something else. It still argues the point that the systems are working and there is a person on the other end and they are available and they can help type of thing. So I think it's a huge portion, a focus point for businesses to move forward on in the digital realm.
It just proves that the business is authentic, you know, in various different layers from...
Correct.
From having a physical space, you know, they're not just... a cyber company, you know, and cyber can be very lonely. But you know, the whole thing about testimonials and adding a more kind of authentic voice to their digital environment that customers would engage with and interact with.
I know. I think for me, one of the most frustrating things is, you know, when you go online and you need to actually speak to a human, because let's face it, tech is sometimes, well, it's fallible, you know, it doesn't always work, and there's no ability to communicate. So companies often make it almost impossible to actually get a hold of them to be able to get assistance. So, I could name a number of companies, but I won't. But I'm sure that the listeners on this podcast will agree. Yeah. So, you know, companies for me, going forward, specifically, you know, with digitization on the rise, is to be able to cement or to be able to partner the sort of human centeredness together with technology. But you realize at the end of the day, unless you've really got your digitization seamless from a client perspective, that there's, you must always be able to back it up with being able to contact a human being to resolve issues. And because there's nothing more frustrating for a customer than having to search for hours and hours in terms of being able to get help when things go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think, you know, one of the pitfalls of digitalization is that a lot of companies have approached it from the viewpoint that it makes customers cheaper to serve. And I think that one mustn't lose sight of the customer experience aspect, that obviously supports that. So just because somebody is cheaper to serve, it's not about pushing them into, forcing them into a particular channel, but obviously allowing them a variety of channels that they can choose from in terms of how they interact. And to Natalie's point, when there are significant pain points or pressure points, is to allow that to have a human touch and the ability to actually speak to a physical human, not just a bot that feels human.
I think that can't remember the article now, but there was something that I read it some time ago about saying that a lot of businesses have lost perspective as to the offering, which is exactly what you're saying, in terms of they focus on the product and not on the customer. So when COVID hit, the necessity maybe was challenging, their whole business structure kind of like got shaken up, because they've lost kind of like perspective of the consumer, and they've lost touch with the human element. Whereas the idea is actually to maintain and expand on that and get stronger with that, to ensure that you have a continuation of the business and permutate.
So to wrap up, Jean, what for you, post-COVID, we're certainly not post-COVID, we're still in the middle and the thick of things. So, advice to businesses going forward, once this is over, and who knows how long it's going to take, but, advice, thoughts, any sort of closing, ideas, anything that you want to share with the listeners?
I think that what to do when you kind of like, it's not really an option to go digital, or it's not really, if you look at the conventional way of how a particular product or service has been done, you can't really digitize it. We're really online. We already have a website where people can request the service and that sort of thing. It can be a challenge, but I think one needs to adapt to a gloss off full type of thinking, and we'll have to permutate as to, well, how can we look at elements of that particular service of products? Just as an example, I think there's like for exercises, you can't go to a gym because of the social distancing that needs to be implemented. So what else can one do? How else can one do that? And to create something that would allow people to do exercise at home, that you don't require weights, or recommend like running around the house type of thing, or your property and that might not be available, then to try different other things. There's ways and means to go about that. So you might not do the conventional product or service offering that you're doing, but you might be doing a permutation of that. And that could actually be a greater success or a bigger need. I'd rather say that a bigger need for that could be developed because of the restrictions that have been applied and because of the way of thinking. We know that users don't typically like to change and they like things the way that they are. And a situation like this occurs, it kind of like forces people to rethink things. And I think this is also the perfect opportunity to leverage that because people are aware on a subconscious level that I need to change something. And yes, we've got limitations here, we've got limitations there. And there are some things that are lightening up, but I still am afraid of the virus, or I want to keep my distance with the virus or whatever else that would be. There is a mindset that they know they need to change this sort of view or perspective and take that opportunity to leverage that opportunity and see what else can be created from that and what else can be created as a subsection or a sub-element of a particular product or service and see how you can still drive the intent forward but allow people to do it in their own homes. And that could effectively even create a whole new product offering, service offering, industry for that matter. And I think some people have really done some creative things. I think the biggest thing for me was the guy that ran Camp Comrades around his property. And what he did is he used the GPS watch. So he actually had an image of the line structures and how many lines and how many times it went around that. And it was great to see that, yeah, although you couldn't do the Comrades and we couldn't do the up and the Daniel and other else, but he was still doing his thing and he was still achieving that. And that might not be a product offering or service, but it does give us an interpretation of how you can think of something. Who would have thought to do my Comrades in my backyard? It was never even an option until the day that you can't go out of your house. Now it's kind of like, wow, why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I do that? So, yeah, I think that would be, to me, the best advice that I could give a business. Look at that glass half full, try and see what you can take out from that and see how it can permutate. Think of how people's mind, their positioning is at the moment, their concerns, their challenges, and the limitations that they put on themselves because of the COVID. So some people might be, well, they're really worried about the virus, but other people might say, well, I still want to keep my distance. And then to give them an opportunity to utilize or still, because they have that need. So fill that need, and but just give them another way of doing that. And I think there's multiple opportunities and platforms and devices that could help you to achieve that.
Doc, I think that's good advice. I know certainly from my perspective, some of the two kind of key takeouts as such for me has been that we really do need to continue to focus on approaching things from a human first philosophy. And to your earlier point, you know, when we experience challenging situations, there's always an opportunity that comes out of it. And I think that one of the opportunities is going to be to think more creatively. And I think we're going to see a lot more innovation coming out of this particular experience, both locally and abroad. So certainly from Natalie and my perspective, thanks so much for joining us. It's been great chatting with you.
And thank you for having
we look forward to potentially doing this again, and we'll be in touch. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for tuning in. Join us for next week's episode as we continue to discuss the future of customer experience and learn how to make the most of this unique time. Until the next one, take stock, be bold, and stay relevant.